From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his fourth message in an intensive study of the book of Romans. Paul referred to the gospel he preached as the gospel of God. For many years, there have been those who have taught that Paul's gospel was unique to him, and that it had little or no relation to the rest of Scripture, particularly to the Old Testament. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is demonstrating that the Bible is one book, that the gospel Paul preached is contained in the Old Testament as well as in the New. First of all, he emphasized the character of the Old Testament, which Paul called the Holy Writings. As Paul was to write to Timothy in his final epistle, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Then, the Old Testament gave advance promises of the gospel of Christ through the various covenants, the prophecies, the types, and the historical events. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of One Bible, One Gospel. First, we invite your attention to a selection from Faith's Checkbook, written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called Fear Only God. The text is Hebrews 13 and verse 6, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Because God will never leave nor forsake us, we may well be content with such things as we have. Since the Lord is ours, we cannot be left without a friend, a treasure, and a dwelling place. This assurance may make us feel quite independent of men. Under such high patronage, we do not feel tempted to cringe before our fellow men and ask of them permission to call our lives our own. But what we say, we boldly say, and defy contradiction. He who fears God has nothing else to fear. We should stand in such awe of the living Lord that all the threats that can be used by the proudest persecutor should have no more effect upon us than the whistling of the wind. Man in these days cannot do so much against us as he could when the apostle wrote the verse which is our text. Racks and stakes are out of fashion. Giant Pope cannot burn the pilgrims now. If the followers of false teachers try cruel mockery and scorn, we do not wonder at it, for the men of this world cannot love the heavenly seed. What then? We must bear the world's scorn. It breaks no bones. God helping us, let us be bold, and when the world rages, let it rage. But let us not fear it.
My Lord.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, and the Prince of Peace. And upon His shoulder the government will rest. All this is the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all for it to come to pass, for Isaiah's vision, which stretches all the way to millennial glory, for Isaiah's vision to come to pass, the Christ had to go through the 52nd and 53rd chapters of that great prophecy, where his visage would be marred more than any man. For his gospel would be despised. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our preaching? Who's willing to listen to our message? The idea is a despised and rejected gospel. And then we have the great and wonderful description of the man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. What a picture of Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. This is the Old Testament gospel, by the way. God incarnate by a virgin birth. The child who was born, the son who was given, the one who is the Almighty King, yet he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's the gospel of the Old Testament. That's the promise in the prophecies. You go back to the Old Testament, you'll find that the types also give an advance on the promises of Christ. Now here's, again, a huge field. Take Adam. According to Romans 5:14, Adam was a type of Christ. Adam was a type of Christ. In what way? Well, I'm not going to anticipate this too much, but the whole book of Romans, if you got the corrected version of my outline studies in the book of Romans, that only has a few of my typos left in it, not all the egregious ones with which it started, you'll see that the entire book breaks up into two sections, and they're both based around Adam and Christ. The first section is death in Adam. The second section is life in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Jesus is called the second man. Do you think of that? The second, he's not called the second Adam. That may be a fair description, but that's not, he's the second man, and he's the last Adam. There are only two great representative men in Scripture, Adam and Christ. Adam is a type of Christ in that in Adam God established the truth of federal headship. And listen to this, forensic identification. Now those are two ideas that are absolutely fundamental to the gospel as Paul expounds it. Paul's message goes nowhere without these two deep and wonderful truths. First of all, federal headship. Adam is the root of the race. We were in him when he sinned. But not only is Adam the root of the race, Adam is the head of the race in the covenant of works. Had Adam stood in the Garden of Eden, he not only gained eternal life for himself, but for all his posterity. We stood in Adam, and we fell in Adam. That's federal headship. It is also forensic or legal identification. God legally imputed Adam's offense and Adam's disobedience to us, as we'll see when we get to Romans chapter 5. Legally, we were one with him, so that what he did, in a legal sense, we did. Now that's the type of Christ. He is the federal head of a new race. That is the word federal, by the way, is just from the Latin word that means covenant. He is the covenant head. So that there is with him this forensic identification. So that we stand in Christ and we have imputed to us legally all that Jesus Christ accomplished. That's Paul's gospel. He says, look at Adam. As he says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. So Adam's a type of Christ. That's an advanced promise. What a promise it is. When you look at Adam, you see a fall. But if that's all you see, you're blind. God immediately came and clothed Adam, giving him the first glimpse of the covering that he had for man's sin, man's guilt. Oh yes, we look at Adam and we wonder. And I've had people ask, how can God condemn me because of Adam? A daft question. But let me tell you a much deeper question. How can God justify me because of Christ? Look at Adam. You see a picture of this identification, this legal imputation from the head to the covenant members. You turn over in the book of Genesis and you'll see another beautiful advanced promise. The ark was a type of Christ. 1 Peter 3:21 makes that absolutely clear. It says, the like figure whereunto also baptism doth now save us. It's one of the most difficult passages in the New Testament to translate. But if you take the text as it stands in the order of the words, it says, which also now saves us, the antitype. We're the antitype of Noah and his family. The ark saved Noah. Wasn't the water saved Noah? Anybody who thinks that the water of the flood speaks of baptism because the water saved Noah, the water would have drowned Noah. It was the ark that saved Noah. And Noah and his children are the antitype of us. Or the type of us. We're the antitype. So the ark's a type of Christ. What a beautiful picture. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Come thou, and all thy family into the ark. What an invitation. It's a great deluge of the wrath of God coming. The heavens are going to open. God is going to drown this world in its own wickedness. But I've made an ark. Come in. And he came in. And God shut the door. Now watch it carefully. The heavens open. And down come the torrential rain showers. The fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the bowels of the earth spew out their contents. The earth is convulsed in a way that it has never known before. Possibly over 1 billion people perished. The animals perished. Noah never felt a raindrop. Why? Because the ark bore it all. It is not that the wrath didn't reach where Noah was. The wrath of God did reach where Noah was, but he was in the ark, and the ark took the buffeting, the ark took the flood, the ark took the convulsions of the earth, and the ark endured to the victory. That's the picture of Christ. My, what a type it is. What a beautiful promise in advance that God gave. And he's holding it up throughout the Old Testament as a picture of grace, as a picture of a place of safety from the wrath of God, a hiding place, a safe place. Christ promised in the ark. And then, of course, throughout the Old Testament, you have the animals for sacrifice as types of Christ. And I'm not even going to get into that one. The Passover lamb. The Passover lamb. What a beautiful picture Exodus 12 gives us of the Lord Jesus. You take a lamb that's perfect, a lamb that's scrutinized, a lamb that under scrutiny is without blemish, a lamb in the prime of his life. You take that lamb and you kill him. And you take his blood and you apply the blood to the places that otherwise will be swept by the judgment of God when the death angel comes through. And you apply the blood. And God's almighty grace says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There you see those Jewish people with their firstborn. Death approaching, judgment nigh. There they stand, secure, beyond the possibility of judgment. Why? Because God has said, I'm looking for the blood, and when the blood of the Lamb I see, I'll pass over you. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. As I said this morning, the Jewish nation was at fever pitch expecting the Messiah. Oh, they longed for a deliverer. They wanted a king. They wanted a monarch. They wanted a military leader. They wanted someone who would break the iron yoke of Rome. But John said, behold the Lamb, for there's a greater tyranny than that of Caesar, and it's the tyranny of sin. There's a greater judgment than being under the heel of Rome, and it's to be in the horrors of hell. Behold the Lamb of God. What a message. What a promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who, as Peter said, bore our sins in his own body to the tree.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.